Today's daf is Babasa Daf Tzadi Beis. I thank Alicia Graf again very much for covering the daf while I was away. Today we are going to begin the sixth parak of Maseches Babasa Hamocher Peros. And the Mishnah is going to talk about if a person sold Peros, but not really Peros, a person sold seeds and they were planted and nothing was produced from the planting of those seeds. Is the Mocher responsible to reimburse the money? And it may depend on whether those seeds are exclusively sold for planting, or sometimes those seeds are eaten, and the fact that they are sometimes eaten may get the mocher off the hook from reimbursing the money. The Gemara is then going to record a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. What happens if you sell a shor and it turns out that shor has been a nagchan? It's just that the lokeach was unaware that this was a shor that is a dangerous shor. Do you say it's a mekach taus, or can you say that the Can the mocher say, no, who told you to use the shor for plowing and to keep it alive? I assumed you were just going to shecht it. And for shechting, it shouldn't make a difference if it was a nagchad or not. So that is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara is going to sort of frame the exact case of that machlokas, and then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to explain what they're really arguing about. That what they're really arguing about is whether we follow Rov when it comes to determining mekach taus. Meaning, are we holchin b'momenach harov or ain holchin b'momenach harov? Does Rov matter when it comes to dinei mamonos? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to be, in today's daf at least, we're going to have the first two of five rayos whether holchin b'momenach harov or not. And that's really why we're quoting this whole discussion about buying a shor nimtza nagchan, because one of those five rayos is going to be from our Mishnah. But today we're not going to get to the raya from our Mishnah. Today we're going to have a raya about determining the amount of a ksuba when there's some dispute whether at the time they were married she was a basula, or whether she was an almana at the time they were married. And another raya from a case of when you buy an eved and it turns out that he's a criminal. Do we assume mekach taus or not? So we're going to discuss whether that sheds light on the issue of holchin b'mamon acharov or ein holchin b'mamon acharov. So let's begin with the Mishnah. Tzadi beiz amir aleph. Hamocher peros l'chavero. If a person sells peros to his friend and he doesn't say explicitly, neither the buyer nor the seller is explicit at the time of the sale what the purpose of this purchase is. Does the person plan to eat it, or is he buying it in order to plant? Vizaran, and then the lokech goes and he plants it, velot samchu, and nothing grows. Vafilu zera pishtan, even if it was a zera pishtan, even if it was flax, if nothing grew, eino chayv bachriyusan. That is not the mocher's problem. He does not have to reimburse the lokech for the failure of the peros to grow. Says the Rashbam, velot samchu, lo mi baya peros dika dezavan lezriya, viyika dezavan lachila, umati lumeimer lachila mechartiv lach, vein kan mechach toz klal. It doesn't even need to be said. It's obvious that if you're talking about peros that are sometimes purchased for the purpose of eating and sometimes for the purpose of planting, of course the mocher does not have to reimburse, because he has every right to say that I thought you were planning on eating it. I was selling it to you to eat. Afilu zera pishtan. The Mishnah's point is that even if it's zera pishtan, the rov hapishtan nikach ba'olam lezriya koronoso, where there's a clear rov, most of the time that people buy pishtan, it is for the purpose of zriya. Dikivan dika dezavin nami la'achila, kadamrina luliva dekisna lukutcha, eino chayv bachriyusan. Since there is a miut that do buy pishtan for achila as well, that's enough for the mocher to say that I thought you were going to eat it, and therefore I do not have to reimburse you. Dematzi lememer la'achila mechartiv lach, dibamamona lo azlinon basa ruba kedishmol begemara. And Rashbam is foreshadowing what the Gemara is going to say, that since this is an issue in dinei mamonos, we do not follow the rov. So even though by pishtan, rov of pishtan is sold for zriya, we don't care about the rov when it comes to dinei mamonos. As long as there's a miut that is sold also for achila, the mocher could say, I assumed that the deal was for achila. However, says Rashbam, b'davka zera pishtan mishum dechazi la'achila aval zerone gina kigon zera kruv v'kaflut she'enu nechol klal chayv b'achriyusan. Yeah, it's true we don't follow the rov when it comes to dinei mamonos, but that's only because there exists a miut. But if you're selling something that's only used for Zriya and is never used for anything else, well then clearly you have a Mekach Talos over here. Clearly the Mocher is going to be on the hook. He's going to have to pay for the seeds that that were unable, that did not produce anything. Says the Mishnah further, and that's what the Mishnah says. That's what we're adding by saying Zeronegina. We're changing by saying Zeronegina. Zeronegina are only used exclusively for planting, not for eating at all, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv Bachriyusan. That is an absolute Mekach Talos, as Rashbam says. That's like buying Eitzim Shel Zayis, and it turns out that they're not Eitzim Shel Zayis at all, but rather they're Eitzim Shel Shikma. That's like buying Yayin, and it turns out that it's Chometz. That's an absolute Mekach Talos. And Rashbam says this is an even greater Mekach Talos than buying Yayin, and it turns out that it's Chometz, because when you buy Yayin, and it turns out that it's Chometz, some people are interested in buying Chometz. So you bought something that is useful to some people, and that some people would prefer over Yayin. But over here, who on earth would want Zeronegina that don't produce anything? Everyone who buys Zeronegina does it to buy something to plant, and it doesn't, and it's totally useless for you. It's not Roi Lachila. It didn't work for Zriya, and it can no longer be used for Asaka, even to fuel a fire can no longer be used, because you've already planted it. You were not Sholech Bo Yad. You got no Anah from it. So this is clearly a Mekach Talos. This is the strongest form of Mekach Talos, much more than when you got something useful, but it wasn't what you were interested in. Over here, you got nothing at all. You got something that had no use whatsoever. Now, if you look at Tosos raises the question, is there only Gina Shem Nachal? And we said, Yerchayv Bachriyusan, the Mocher is going to have to reimburse the Lokeach when it turns out that that which was sold for planting didn't grow anything. Says Tosos, you know, there are a lot of reasons why things don't grow. Could be that the seeds were faulty, there was something wrong with them. But says Tosos, Tema, Amai Chayv it could be that you timed your Zriya incorrectly. There was nothing wrong with the seeds. Had you planted them 2 weeks later, 2 weeks earlier, had you timed it better, had you known what you were doing, then maybe it would have worked. Or even if you did know what you were doing and you planted them at a reasonable time, but it could be that the weather was crazy that year and these would have produced something if you would have planted them a little bit later or a little bit earlier. After all, the Gemara says such a thing in Maseches Bava Metzia, the Tanan, Mekabel Sadeh Mechaver V'Ach L'Chaga V'Nishtefa, that if you're Mekabel a field to work on and then nothing was produced because locusts came or the winds blew sand onto it, Im Makas Medinahi, if this happened throughout the entire Medina to everyone's fields, Minakin Lo Min Adamim, then we deduct from the money. Vamla Rish Lakish B'Gemara Lo Shanu Al Shazara V'Tzam Chaviach L'Chagav. That's only if it actually produced and then it got destroyed by the locusts eating it. Aval Zarav Lo Tzamcha. But if you planted and nothing came of it, Matzi Amar Le Balakarka Kol Yimei Zera Zar Le Va'azil. The Balakarka can say, well, you should have planted during the right time. You planted at the wrong time. So you see that that's a taina, meaning that just because nothing grows, we don't assume that that the seeds were problematic. It could just be that you timed it badly. You planted it at the wrong time. So why can't we say the same thing over here? Why can't the mocher say when he sold the Zeronegina and the lokech planted them and nothing grew? Why can't the mocher say you obviously planted it at the wrong time? So it says Tosos Yeshlomer the Hasamari b'makas Medina the Kulu. That in the case in Bava Metzia, it happened to the entire Medina. It happened to everybody. It didn't just happen to this guy. It's unlikely that an entire Medina planted faulty seeds. It could be that they all planted at the wrong time because they planted at a time that they thought was the right time, and then the atmospheric conditions were different that year. Something changed. The climate changed or something was different that year. But it's unlikely that they all happened to plant seeds that were not Ra'ui Lizriya. But over here, it's very likely this one guy sold you seeds. We're not talking about a whole Medina. So it's very possible that he did sell you seeds that were useless. Inami, another possible answer, says Tosos, Hachamari de Goy Milsom Afresh, Loyeru Lizria Klal. Over here we're talking about where we know in the end that these were not Roy Lizria at all. V'chein Mashma B'Gemara, and it has to be that that's the assumption over here. Dika Lamanda Machayev L'Shalim Afilu Otsa'a. Because we're going to see in the Gemara an opinion, and we're going to see not just an opinion, but it's from Shung Gamliel that holds that the, according to the Ukimta of the Gemara, that you even have to pay for the expenses he incurred in planting them. V'ein Svar The only way we could ever be mechayev the mocher to pay for your expenses in planting is if he sold you something that was absolutely useless and you knew about it. Because that's malicious. You're selling him something that you know he's going to work hard and invest money in planting, and you know that it's going to produce nothing. Only then can you say that you have to reimburse him for the money that he spends in trying to plant it. Okay, so says the Gemara, what seems like an entirely separate topic, but as Rashbam points out, that we're going to ask on this discussion from our Mishnah, that's why we begin this entirely seemingly unrelated discussion. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Hamocher shor lechaveru v'nimtza nagchan. A person sells a shor to his friend, and it turns out that that shor is a nagchan. It is a dangerous shor. It goes around goring things. Rav amar hareza mekachtos. Rav says that is a mekachtos. It's like buying wine, and it turns out that it's vinegar. So you get your money back, and you return the shor. Ushmuel amar yachalomer lo lishchita mechartav lach. And Shmuel says, no, the guy can tell you, the mocher can say, not a mekach ta'us, I was selling it to you, not for you to use it for plowing or for working or for a pet or anything like that. I was selling it to you to shecht it. So what difference does it make to you if it's a nagchan, if the point is just to shecht it anyway? The Rashbam raises the question that, you know, sumchus holds. So l'chora, what you have over here is a safek. It's a safek whether the purpose of the purchase was for shechita or was for charisha, and that would make all the difference. So if it's a safek, why does Shmuel say, oh, so there's no mekach ta'us? Maybe Shmuel should say, mamon amutl b'safek cholkin. There's a partial mekach ta'us. It's a safek. We're not sure whether it's a mekach ta'us or not. So you should pay half of the money. So the Rashbam writes in Dibur Maskel Shchita, three lines in, va'afil l'sumchus tam perek shor shenogach, mamon amutl b'safek cholkin. V'kaimlon kavaseid. Then the Rashbam adds his own comment. Yeah, and we paskin like sumchus. Not so clear. Not all the Rishonim paskin like sumchus, but the Rashbam thinks so. So, and we normally paskin like sumchus, says the Rashbam, that you would say mamon amutl b'safek cholkin. Tesasum l'antana hasum Kavasei, because there's stam tana that goes like sumchus. Hani mili, says Rashbam, still that's only kigon shor shenaga chasapar v'nimsu ubra b'tzida ve'in yadu alabezin hechaya maisa im yoldekom negicha acharkein. That's where there's some sort of suffix in the mitzios. Mamna mutlub suffix means there's a suffix in what exactly happened. How did things happen? You sold a para, but the kinyan was done elsewhere, and the para was mu'uberes when you last saw it, and the next time you saw it, you see that it has ubra b'tzida, that it has its fetus came out. So you don't know when did the fetus come out, before or after. Shor shenaga chasapara, and you nimtza ubra b'tzida. You don't know if the fetus came out before or after. That's moment of mutl b'safek. But the Rashbam goes on to say five lines later, aval hacha, sha'anu yodin hechaya amaisa. But over here we know exactly what happened. Hareza machron lezestam. We know that this sale happened without either party explaining what the purpose of the purchase was. And we now know that this shor was a nagchan. Even sumchus would agree that we do not consider this mamon amutl b'safek. Ela azlin and basar hu sheto in yafe. We go after the better taina. Dekiva the ruba lo klumhu lo hayla lemocher lefarish ela alukeach havle lememar leradya kabi inale. That since the rove is irrelevant over here, as we're going to see. According to Shmuel, the rove is irrelevant. It's not the mocher's job to tell you that this is a shor nagchan. It's the lokech's job to explain to the mocher what he wants this shor for. And if he failed to do so, he loses. He failed to tell the mocher that I'm interested in this shor because I want to use it for plowing. So that's on the lokeach. That's his own problem, and the mocher is not going to have to reimburse him. That is the shita of Shmuel, at least, who says that we're not interested in the rov. But it is an interesting idea that that if it's nimtza nagchan, according to Shmuel, we don't follow the rov. Rav Zilberstein in Chashuk Echemet over here raises a question of a chassan who had shiduchin, not yet erisin, and he knew that the kala one time had stolen something, and anyway he got engaged to her hoping that, you know, it was a one time event, she's not going to do it again, she's not going to steal anymore. And then it turns out later she hadn't stolen once, she had stolen several times, three times she was caught several times stealing. So now he wants to be mevatel the shidduch because it's a mekach toos. So he wants to know, is that a good enough taina to be mevatel the shidduch? So Rav Zilberstein suggests that you know, our Gemara, Mocher Shol Chaveru Nimtza Nagchan, Rav says it's Mekach Tos. What does it mean, Nimtza Nagchan? It turned out that it did it once, it turned out that it did it three times. So the Ar Sameach in Perek Tazayin of Hilchas Mechira, Halacha Hey, says that this is only if you didn't know that it was a Nagchan. But let's say you knew that it was a Nagchan, you just thought it was a Shartam. And then it turned out that it had done it more times than you thought, meaning that's Mamish the case the Ar Sameach discusses. You knew that it was a Nagchan, but you thought, okay, it happened once, maybe it won't happen again. But then it turns out that it was a sharmua, that it had done this several times. So he says, then you can't say I thought it was a tam. I thought it wouldn't. You have no taina. There's no machlokas. Even Rav would be moda that you have no taina. The mocher doesn't have to reimburse anything. And his raya is from a gemara in Baba Kama Daf Mem Amud Aleph, where the gemara talks about if you borrow an animal becheskas that it's a tam, and it turns out that it's a muad. So the gemara says v'neim a tam she'ili muad lo. The borrower should be able to say, you know, I borrowed a tam, not a muad. And the Gemara says, no, it's not a taina, because even if it's a tam, so a tam would be chayiv palganiska, would be chayiv chatzi nezek. So good, so go pay chatzi nezek. But if you say that a shor muad is more likely to damage, and that matters because it's more likely to damage, to the point that it becomes a mekach toos, so why doesn't the Gemara over there in Baba Kama say that, you know, I borrowed a shor tam because I thought I wouldn't have to be shomerit, because I thought it's unlikely to damage. It turns out that it's a muad and is very likely to damage. The fact that the Gemara doesn't raise that as an issue tells you that if you know that it has any history of negicha, you already know that you have to be super careful with it. And you can't come with a taina, oh, I didn't realize that it was dangerous. Any history of negicha is a red flag, is something that you would be extremely concerned with. So, same over here by Shidduch. If the chassid knew that the kala has any sort of history of geneva, so knowing that she had done it more times, l'chora should not be enough. But, says Rav Zilberstein, being mevatel, a shidduch is not really a mekach tos, there's no kinyin yet. A shidduch is only a hischaivus lihinase. So to be mevatel, a hischaivus doesn't take as much. So probably he can be mevatel, the shidduch anyway, even though if it were a purchase, if it were a kinyin, if it were some sort of something more than a shidduch, let's say they had gotten married and he claims, mekach tos, the whole thing was a kiddushe tos. So probably he couldn't be mevatel, the whole kiddushin, based on that. But to be mevatel, the shidduch doesn't take the same level as being mevatel an actual kiddushin. Anyway, so we have this machlokas in the Gemara, whether someone sells a shor l'chaveru, it turns out that it's a nagchan. Rav says it's a mekach tos. Shmuel says no, it's not. So says the Gemara, amai v'lechzi I gavr d'zavon l'nachsata l'radia. Why don't we just look at what this buyer normally does with animals that he buys? If he's a guy who normally buys animals for shechita, he owns a slaughterhouse. What did you think he was going to do with this animal? Obviously for shechita. And if he's someone who's never slaughtered an animal before in his life, but he's a farmer and he uses animals all the time in plowing, so obviously he was buying it for plowing. So if he was buying it for shechita, he's an owner of a slaughterhouse, he obviously cannot claim mekach tos. And if he's a farmer, obviously he can claim mekach tos. How's there any room for machlokas over here? So the Gemara says, now he's a multitasker. Begavad zavon lahachi lahachi. He has a diversified profession. He does a little bit of shechita, he does a little bit of farming. So sometimes he buys animals for one business, sometimes he buys animals for another business. So says Mar Velachsi Dami Hechaninu. But there's another way to tell. Okay, forget about which business he's in. He's in both businesses. Yeah, but animals cost different amounts of money depending on which business you're buying them for. If you're buying it l'shchita, it will cost X amount of money. If you're buying it for plowing,
it will cost a different amount of money. So why don't we just look at the purchase price, and that should be enough. So Gemara says, Lo tzricha da ayakar bisra v'kam b'dmei radya. Shechita animals, for some reason, were very expensive during that tkufa, and they were just as expensive as plowing animals. So there was no longer any way to tell what the purpose of the purchase was, whether it was for shechita or for radya. So says Gemara, Ihachi the main afkamina. So then, what's the whole machlokas about? Meaning, you're going to claim mekachtos. I paid exactly what it was worth anyway. So what's the mekachtos? I could sell it for the same amount of money now that I paid for it, because it's worth exactly the amount of money that I paid for it. So Gemara says, no, nafkamina latircha. It's still a tircha to go and to sell it and to recoup my money by selling it. I don't want to have to go and sell it. I would rather just get my money back and give you the animal back. That's the whole machlokas, whether he can just give it back or whether he's going to be burdened with having to sell it. Now, both the Rashbam and Tosfos are bothered by the Gemara's suggestion that you could just look at the price tag, and based on the price tag, we'll come to a determination what the intent was in the sale. Why are they bothered by this? Because there was a Gemara that we had earlier on, where the Gemara had said that in Perek HaMocheres HaSfina, Daf Ayin Zayinam Beis, Ein hadamim raya, that according to the Rabbanan, the amount of money is not a raya to anything. So if you're going to assume ein hadamim raya, that the amount of money is not a raya to anything, how come the Gemara assumes over here that sure it's a raya? So the Rashbam has a very long explanation. Tosfos has a shorter explanation. So let's take a look at Tosfos. V'lechzi idmei radya, da filu Rabbanan de isluhu de ein hadamim raya. Even the Rabbanan hold that the money is not a raya to anything. Hainu hasam dafka deruba dekaru letzemet semet deruba v'chazaka mesayayin lemocher. The money is not a raya when the mocher has both the rove and the chazaka on his side. In that case, we're talking about a situation where rove of the people, when they're selling it semet bakar, they call it semet at semet, and they call the bakar the bakar. So rove of the people, rove of the cases, you would assume that the sale only includes the semet, not the bakar, meaning advantage. Advantage mocher, that he only had to include the tzemet in the sale and not the bakar in the sale. In addition to that, the chazaka is with the mocher, because he's the one that's holding on to the bakar that you're disputing and you're claiming you have a right to. So he's the one that has it. So he has both the rove and the chazaka on his side. So what, you're going to come and say, but look how much money I paid. I paid something an amount of money that should have gotten me more than just a tzemet, should have gotten me a tzemet and the bakar. Yeah, but that little claim of how much money you paid is going against a rove and a chazaka. That's where the Rabbanan say, sorry, the amount of money you paid is not enough of an indicator. Ulahachi ein adam ray lahachish rove v'chazaka. But Tosfos goes on to say in the next line, Aval hacha, deruba l'radya zavni, v'ika chazaka k'neged oso rov. But over here, where the majority buys for plowing, and there's a chazaka against the rov, meaning the rov would be in favor of the lokeach, chazaka in favor of the mocher. Okay, so now it's a stalemate. You have a rov on one side, a chazaka on the other side. Now the damim would be a raya. Even the rabbanon would be moda that when you have a rov on one side, a chazaka on the other side, the purchase price will make a difference in determining which person has the stronger argument. So that's the way Tosfos deals with the contradiction, the seeming contradiction between the two gemaras. Okay, further in the gemara, now last two words on the page. Heichidami, says the gemara, what exactly is the case where Rav and Shmuel are having this machlokes, whether it's a mekach tos? If the guy doesn't have any money to give you back, meaning the mocher sold you the item, you paid him, so why doesn't he have money? He already spent it. He already gambled it away. He spent it on other things, on whatever. It could be on anything. On mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, doesn't make a difference. But he doesn't have the money. So then just keep the ox as the payment. Damri and Shimin Mari Rishuscha Pariya Fareya, that you would keep the ox as the payment from the person who owes you the money. The halacha is that the Gemara says in Masechta Baba Kama that when someone owes you money, he either has to pay kesef or Metav Sadehu. So the Gemara over there asks, Ah, Yashiv L'Rabbel Shava Kesef, can't you pay Shava Kesef? Why do you have to pay either Kesef or Metav? And the Gemara says, when you don't have money, then you pay Shava Kesef, then you pay whatever. So over here, you know what the Shava Kesef is? The animal that he bought is the Shava Kesef. So he'll get to keep the animal itself. So the Gemara says, "Latzricha di'ikal ishtalum emine." Obviously, there wouldn't be a machlokas then whether it's a mekachtos or not, because even if it was a mekachtos, if it's not a mekachtos, you're keeping the animal. If it was a mekachtos and he has nothing to pay you, you're keeping the animal. So there wouldn't be a machlokas. The only machlokas is where the guy has plenty of liquid assets. He has plenty of ability to give you the money back. So now, if it's a mekachtos, you get your money back, not just keeping the animal. If it's not a mekachtos, you're stuck keeping this animal. So that must be the case where Rav and Shmuel argue whether it's a mekachtos. So Rav Amar, hareza mekachtos. Rav says, it is indeed a mekachtos. You thought you were buying this docile, calm animal that you're able to use for plowing, basaruba azlinan veruba l'rad yezavni, and that is in fact the majority of what people buy animals for, and therefore you have every right to claim, I didn't know that this was a wild and dangerous animal, I want my money back. That's a mekachtos. Ushmol amalach ki azlinan basaruba bi isura b'mamona lo, and those words are the key words of the whole sugya over here. That Shmuel says, it's true there is such a din that we follow rov. That's when it comes to Isser V'Heter. You find a piece of meat, you don't know if it's kosher, if it's not kosher. Teisha chanuyos mochros baso shchuta, achas mochros baso nveh. Wonderful. That's where you follow Rov, by Isser V'Heter. You do not follow Rov when it comes to dinim mominus. So you're not going to be able to claim mekachtos based on a Rov. This is a very critical line, that we don't follow Rov based on dinim mominus. Tosos and Masech Sanhedrin raises the following issue. The Gemara at the very beginning of Masech Sanhedrin discusses how we know, you know, when you have a Beis Din that's determining whether someone is Chayiv or Pater, so you have 23 members of the Beis Din. It's a 15-8 vote to say that he's Chayiv. Is that enough? How do I know that a majority is enough when it comes to Beis Din? So the Gemara has a limud, Achiram Lahatos, teaches us that when it comes to Isser V'Heter, you follow the Rov. And how do I know that if they're determining a Dini Mamnus case, you only need 3 Dayanim for Dini Mamnus. So you have based on the 3 Dayanim, a 2-1 vote amongst the Dayanim that the guy is high of money. How do I know to follow that? Maybe we shouldn't follow Rov when it comes to Dini Mamnus, to Rov Dayanim when it comes to Dini Mamnus. So the Gemara says, of course you follow Rov Dayanim when it comes to Dini Mamnus. Kal v'chomer mi Dini Nefashos. So much more serious, and we follow the Rov. By Dinim Amnus, yeah, of course you're going to follow the Rov. So ask Tosus over there in Sanhedrin, Daf Gimel and Beis, Tema, the Beresh HaMachar Peros, and Babasa Daf Tzadi Beis and Beis, Kamar Shmuel, De Ein Olchim B'mamarach HaRov. Why doesn't our Gemara say, why doesn't Shmuel say in our Gemara that we should follow Rov by Dinim Mamnus? Because if Rov is enough of an indicator of how to paskin, when it comes to Dinim Nefashos, life and death, we're willing to follow Rov. Why is Rov not enough of an indicator when it comes to Dinim Mamnus? The Ein Lomar, the Dinim Nefashos Kufay Loz in Basaruba, Beruba de Lesa Kaman, El Beruba de Yisei Kaman. And don't tell me that when it comes to that even the idea that you follow Rov by Dinim Nefashos is limited to Ruba de Ise Kaman, like by Dayanim. I see the Dayanim, I can count them, I know how many are on this side, how many are on that side. That's a Ruba de Ise Kaman. But maybe the whole din of following Rov by Dinim Nefashos doesn't apply to Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Ruba de Lesa Kaman means this is how it normally is. It's not that I did a survey, it's not that I'm counting anything, this is how it normally is. So maybe by Dinim Nefashos we don't follow such a rov, Ruba de Lesa Kaman, and therefore we can say that we don't follow such a rov by Dinim Mamnus either, right? Our rov, that rov l'rad yozavni, most people buy for plowing, is a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. We never did a poll. It's just that's the way it is. We assume most of the time when someone buys something, they're buying them, when someone buys an animal, it's for plowing. The Habereish Perek Sora Mora Tos says, Mashma de Bakal Duchta Zin Basruba Din Fashos. Gon Rov Nashos Tessial Nuba de Inchi, de Tobi, Buru de Yarcha. He says, there are several Gemaras that are very clear that even when it comes to Dinin Fashos, we follow Aruba de Lesa Kaman as well. That a Rov works for dine nefashos. So says Tosfos v'tzarech lomer to ruba l'radia zavni l'chashav kianuch ruba hilkol chosam chinah hachruba dine mamonis. He says you have to say there's a difference between some roves and other roves. You know, a rove, we just throw the term around. Rove, a majority. Yeah, is it the same if it's a 51% majority and a 99% majority? Are they the same types of indicators? Can't be. There has to be, within the world of rove, there has to be a strong rove and a weaker rove. So when Shmuel says we don't follow rove by dina mamonis, he's talking about a small rove. But if it's a major rove, if it's a significant rove, then Shmuel would say that we do follow such rove. Kal v'chomer midina nefashos, where we follow such rove. That's how Tosos deals with it. Other Rishonim deal with the question differently, but that is the point that Tosos raises. In fact, this idea of not following rove by Dina Mamnas of Zilberstein Chashuk Echemet raises an interesting question. When a doctor is running his office, so these are things that I guess if you're not a physician or an office manager of a physician, you don't think about. So he charges X amount for procedures that he does. But what about expenses that he has? He could buy needles to do his injections that are very, very thin and cost a little more money, or he could buy thicker needles that will cause a little more pain but will cost him a little less money. Is he obligated to buy the thinner needles that will cause less pain and lose money on that? Because or so Zilberstein suggests it will be a rove. You have to look at the rove. Would most people be willing, let's say that cost were passed on to the patient, and he would charge $100 for the procedure with the thick needles and $102 for the procedure with the thin needles. How would most patients, given that option, what would most patients say? You would have to follow the rove. I ein holchin b'mamon achar harov. So the doctor could say that I hold like the miut that would choose the thicker, more painful needles. So says Zilberstein, no, that's only when the muchzak has a tainus bari that I sold you a shor l'tvicha, that l'shchita mecharti lach. Right, that was the case in our gemara. The guy was saying, the mocher was saying, I sold it to you for shchita. That was my intention with the tainus bari. Because by mamon we don't follow the rove, but pasar taina tova. As opposed to over here, the doctor himself isn't sure. He doesn't know. He's not sure what to use. So then we would be able to follow the rove and dina mamon. So again, another exception to this rule of ein holchin mamon achar rove. One exception that emerges from Tosos in Maseches Sanhedrin, that if it's not a super rove, we wouldn't follow the rove. And now Rav Zilberstein is suggesting, based on Rashbam over here, that if it's only if it's a Tainas Bari, do we say Ein Holchin Mamon Achar Rove? But if it's not a Tainas Bari, we don't say Ein Holchin Mamon Achar Rove. One more ha'ara about Ein Holchin Mamon Achar Rove. Rav Shechter writes in Eretz Tzvi in Simon Chav Gimel, he has a kuntras on Inyan Eshtaros, and one of the things he says about the power of a shtar is that a shtar is considered to be not just a document, it's considered to be edus, not only on what the edim knew at the time that they signed the shtar, but even on additional matters that the edim could not have known or did not know at the shasa chasima, as long as you have tfisas balashtar, the guy who has the shtar, and he has a taina that it went a certain way. And his raya is from our Gemara, because there is a Gemara in Maseches Babasra Dav Ayin that a lova is not neman to say parati when the malva has a shtar, because the malva could say, yeah, you paid it up, shtar chabiyadi my bayi, why then do I have the shtar still? So the Acharim ask, well, that taina shtar chabiyadi my bayi, that's l'chora ruba delasa kaman, that most people when they pay it back would make sure that the shtar is destroyed, would make sure that the shtar is returned. This guy may have paid it back without demanding that the shtar is returned. He may be amongst the minority of people who is not responsible enough to make sure that the shtar gets destroyed after he pays it back. So we paskin like Shmuel in holchin mamon achar rov. So how does that help that the guy has a shtar and shtar chubiyadi my body? If he really paid it back, why do I still have the shtar? Shouldn't the lover be able to tie it right back? Yeah, that's a rove. Ein holchin mamon achar rove. But I did pay it back. How does it help to have the shtar? So Rav Shechter says, no, that's the yesod. That at the shas chasima, it's true, the shtar only knew that Reuven was borrowing money from Shimon. They couldn't have known anything else at the shas chasima. But since right now the Malva has a Tfisa Sashtar, and he has a Taina that the Lova hasn't paid back the Chov, that's all part of the Eidos of the Shtar, meaning it's not a Rov. We have Eidos over here. The Shtar is considered to be Eidos, and therefore we follow the Eidos. That not only that there was a Halva that happened, but that it also has not yet been paid back. And the truth is, Rav Shechter points out, that seems almost explicit in the Lashon of the Rambam, the fourth parak of Hilchos Torah Nitan, Halacha Ches, where he says, L'fichach Shtar sheyish bo erecha, v'tan shaparo, hareze mechuyiv shvui, v'eino lachli yishava, u'meshalim. And the case of Mishnah explains that an Eid Echad is the koch of an Eid Echad is better than Shnayim Balpeh because of a shtar. That a shtar is considered its own form of Eidos. Okay, so let's see the Gemara further now. Now we're going to start discussing, is this true, this rule of Ein Holchim Mamanachar Rov? So Raya number one, Meisvei. Ha'isha Shenasalma Onis Garsha, V'yomers Pesul Nisasi. A woman became an almana, or she got divorced, and she says, you know, I'm owed my ksuba now, and when I got married, I was a basula, so I expect a ksuba of masayim. V'omer loki ela almana nesaticha. And he says, not true. When I married you, you were an almana, and therefore I only owe you mana. Rav Shechter likes to point out that we often think of masayim as double mana, that a basula gets twice as much as an almana. That's not clear at all. The Bali Atos hold that way, but that's not clear at all, because a basula's ksuba is written in kesef d'oraisa, in kesef tzuri. An almana's ksuba is with kesef medina. Kesef Medina is worth 1/8 of Kesef Tzuri, of the Kesef that we talk about on a Darais level. So actually, an Almanas Ksuba is 1/16 of a Besulas Ksuba. So we're talking about a significant difference, not just double, 1/16 Pashtus. Although Tosus disagrees, Tosus thinks that it's double. But the Pashtut reading of the Gemara is that it's 1/16, because the Gemara says that when we say the Chazulichi Midaraisa in a Ksuba of a Besula, even if you hold Ksuba to Rabbanan, we still say the Chazulichi Midaraisa, because we're talking about Kesef Midaraisa. And by all Dinim to Rabbanan, we talk about, by other Dinim to Rabbanan, like by an Almana, we're talking with Kesef Terabbanan. Anyway, so they're having this major dispute about how much money she's owed based on what she was at the time of the wedding. So, im yeshedim she'atzibinum avarosha perua ksubas masayim. If there were eidim that she went out in the way that a besula goes to a wedding with her hair uncovered, so then the ksuba is going to be masayim, because we assume that she must have been a besula. Ooh, taima di ike eidim. Sounds like it's only because there are eidim that know that she had her hair uncovered at the time of her wedding. Haleka eidim, but if there were not Edim, lo, then the guy would only have to pay her the Ksuba Salmana. Va'amai, le'malachacha rov nashim, rov nashim besulas nisos. How many weddings have you been to in your life? And how many of them have been for almanos? How many of them have been for besulos? The large majority of women who get married are getting married as besulos. So why would you assume that absent Edim, the husband's only on the hook for mana? He should have to pay Masayim based on the rov. The fact that he doesn't that tell you Ein Holchin Mamanach HaRov? Isn't this a raya to Shmuel that Ein Holchin Mamanach HaRov? So says Gemara Amaravina, Mishum Di'ikal Meimah Rov Nashim Besulos Nisos Umiyat Almanos. No, we have to take the whole picture into account over here. It's true. There is a Rov that most women get married as Besulos. There's a Miyut that get married as Almanos. So we have to still pay attention to the Miyut a little bit, and then take the following factor into account. V'kalanises besula yesh lakol. When a besula gets married, everyone knows about it. It's a big deal. V'zu hol vein lakol itra le'ruba. But over here, there was no kol. So even though it's true the majority get married as besulos, there is a strong indicator that this was not the wedding of a besula, because there was no kol. So therefore, turns back into a 50-50. So now that it's back to a 50-50, that's why he's only going to have to pay a ksuba salmana. Frek the Gemara, I kol anisos besulos yesh lan kol. If that's true, that every besula that gets married, there's a kol about it, ki ika edim mayhavi. Then even if there were edim that she was a besula, how does that help? Midles la kol sadi shakri ninu. Aren't they obviously liars because there was no kol? Every besula that gets married has a kol. So the Gemara says, no, you have to modify that statement. Not every besula has a kol. Ela rov anisos besulos yesh lan kol. Vizu hol vein la kol itra la ruba. Most of the time, there's a kol, but it doesn't mean every single time that there's a call. So since this woman didn't have a call, it's enough to chip away at that rove that are Basilis Nisos and turn that rove into like a regular Suffolk, and that's why the guy is not going to have to pay more than a Ksubas Almana. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll go through Rayas 2 through 5 tomorrow in tomorrow's daf.